Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Somebody say, keep your hopes up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Somebody say, I'm new. Tell them, I'm not just different, I'm brand new. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, I need you to say a couple more things. I know some of you are introverts, but just break out of your shell for the next 20 seconds. Somebody say, I'm a work in progress. Somebody say, but I am a lot better than I used to be. And all the spouses say, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. We have covered what it means to be transformed by Christ, converted to Christ. What the process of metamorphosis with Christ looks like. And in the last couple sessions, we have taken that word metamorphosis, which is the Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get our word transformed. Transformed means change from the inside out. That's why Paul would caution us and say, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. To be conformed means allowing what is on the outside to change you. But we don't want to be changed by the outside. We want to be transformed from the inside out. That's why we, like Olivia said about Mandy, we've got to be people of grace, because you've got to give people enough time to let God work on them from the inside out. They might not have their talk right. They might not have their walk right. They might not dress right. But realize that if they are here today and they are giving God a place in their life, that the transforming power of Jesus is going to work from the inside out. So we've talked about the change in appearance, character, condition, and function that metamorpho means. We've talked about being converted to Christ, that conversion is a choice to change. It means to literally change from one nature to another. I am not, you are not who you used to be since you have come to Jesus Christ. And we ought to be thankful that we don't have the habits we used to have, that we don't run to the things that we used to run to, but now we've got an ever-present help in Jesus Christ. Now there is an open line of communication between him and us. The power of metamorphosis and transformation is this, that once you have been truly transformed, you can never go back to how you used to be. That's why when some people say, what happened to so-and-so? Did they backslide? This is what Jesus said. They left us because they were never really with us. That's what Jesus said. That's not what an elder said, a deacon said, a prophet said. Jesus said, never worry when they leave us, because they were never really with us, meaning they might have conformed on the outside. They might have learned the lyrics to the songs. They might have been able to quote 5 or 6 scriptures, but he said, unless they're transformed from the inside out, that transformation will not last. But once you have been truly transformed, you can never go back to how you used to be. Some of you made a good mistake when you showed up at Living Way, because you got enough Holy Ghost where clubbing's no longer fun. Drinking doesn't do what it used to do. Drugs don't do what they used to do. All of the frivolous relationships of this world pale in comparison to what we have found in Jesus. That's what happens when we are transformed. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why I will never be a finished product on this earth. I am, until the day of Jesus Christ, God is performing a transformation in me. If you don't like me, stick around, because like the Texas weather, I'm gonna change real quick. God is still working in me and on me and through me. I am a new creation. We are a new creation. We are not going back. Check that. We cannot go back to how it used to be or who we used to be. John chapter 6, where we left last session, talking about Jesus having a very, very hard discussion with his followers. The Bible says in verse 66, after Jesus had spoken a very hard truth, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Church, this proves that you can follow Jesus but never be transformed. This proves that you can follow Jesus and never be fruitful. I need you to understand that it is going to take a transformed heart and a transformed mind to follow Jesus, not from here to church, but from here to eternity. I'm not trying to make it back to church next week. Heaven is my goal. Eternity with Jesus Christ is what I am after. And the only way that can happen is if we are true followers. And the only way we are true followers is if we have been truly transformed. So this proves that you can follow Jesus but never be transformed. Jesus turns to the 12 and asks, are you also going to leave? Which means there are different kinds of followers. There are different kinds of disciples. There are some that are more disciplined than others. And so hundreds of disciples and followers have left Jesus after his hard truth. He turns to the 12 that we know, men like James and John and Thomas and Judas and Peter, and he asks the hard question, will you leave me too? It's a very easy question to answer if you've been transformed. It is when you have not been fully transformed that you start thinking about all of your options. You think about where you could go. You think about what you could go back to. You think you still got her number in the phone and you could still call her. You could still call him. Maybe I can get back into that friend group. Maybe I can get back. And so going back, going to the side, going to things that God has delivered us from, going back to them becomes, when it becomes an option, we are not truly transformed and we are not transformed like he's called us to be. Verse 68. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? For you have the words that give eternal life. We left last session talking about the power that is in Peter, but the weakness that is in Simon. And when Simon comes to Jesus, he is a weak and wavering reed, Matthew 16 says. But when he has the revelation of who Jesus is, Jesus said, you are no longer Simon the waver, but you are now Peter the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Yet here we are, fast forward a few weeks later, and Jesus is calling him not just Simon, not just Peter, but Simon Peter. Have you ever felt like you're stuck between who you used to be and who God's called you to be? Come on, I got three amens there. I've been there before. I've been there recently where you look in the mirror and you say, man, I wish I could just be all that God has called you to be. But can I remind you that you are not who you used to be, thank God. Can I remind you, hopefully, you are the best version of yourself that you have ever been. But when Jesus talks to Simon Peter, he calls him out. And listen, when you're not Simon, but you're not Peter, you're better than you used to be, but you're not what God has created you to be. That is a place that he's going to inspire you to continue on, or it is going to make you want to quit. But I want to tell those that are stuck in the middle. I want to tell those that have left Egypt, but you haven't got to the promised land. I want to talk to those that left the bad relationship, but hadn't found the right relationship. I want to talk to those who have stepped out of poverty, but you haven't totally stepped into prosperity. I want to talk to those of you that have gotten saved at the cross, but you haven't gone to the upper room. I want to talk to those of you who feel better than you used to, but you're not yet whole yet. I want to talk to you and tell you, I'd rather be where you are now than where you used to be, and you need to clench your teeth, square your shoulders, raise your head and say, God, I'm marching on to what you've called me to be. I want to go through the process of metamorpho. Go through the process of transformation. Somebody say, I want to be transformed. Somebody say, where I've been is not enough. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going somewhere. And I want you to go with me. So get on board, get out the way, or get run over. Those are your options. Simon Peter replied, the man stuck in the middle, where would we go? You have the words to eternal life. I preached on this. I won't dissect it too much here. But I love Peter's response. But Peter's response is telling church, where would we go? Meaning I've thought about leaving. I've thought about my options. I've thought about where I could go. But those pale in comparison to where I'm at now. That's so powerful, church. Can I just tell you, it's okay that you've had thoughts of quitting. Just don't quit. It's okay that you have thoughts of walking out. Just don't walk out. Just don't throw in the towel. Don't stop now. The reason Simon Peter can speak up so quickly and so boldly is he said, I've counted all the options. There's nothing like you, Jesus. Where would I go? And there's nowhere on earth that has the words that you have, the words to eternal life. Verse 69, we believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Simon, Peter, means wavering rock. I'm not Simon, but I'm not Peter yet. I'm not a caterpillar anymore, but I haven't come out the cocoon yet. There's no way that I could ever leave you now. I'm in the middle of my transformation. I think that's what Peter is really saying. And I think for those of us that are stuck in the middle of the cocoon season of life, let me encourage you. You cannot go back now because you're not going to be a good caterpillar anymore. So you've started the process. So let's finish the process. You started following Jesus. Let's follow him all the way to the end. I don't know what it's going to cost us, but I know following Jesus is going to always be worth it. I can't stop in the middle of my transformation. It would be like going to the tanning studio and only tanning half of your body. Stay in there. Get crispy. Finish the process. Don't start something and walk out halfway. 52% of marriages end in divorce. That's the national average. 54% of marriages of Christians end in divorce. That should not be for Christians to have a higher rate than the rest of the world. What happens when the middle gets tough? People don't want to continue on. But I'm here to tell you, like Peter, where would I go? Mandy, you're stuck with me. Who would want to marry me now? Who would want to? That's where we're at. I'm in this process. I'm going to complete the process. I married one woman. I'm going to stay married. I'm going to keep pouring into my children. I'm going to keep leading Living Way Church. I'm going to keep preaching the unadulterated truth of God. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep witnessing and testifying outside the four walls of this church. Why? Because I am a work in progress. He is not done with me, and I'm not stepping off the potter's wheel. I'm not checking out now. It might get difficult. It might get crazy, but I am here for all of it because I'm not following you. I'm not following them. I am following him. And he's the one who is transformed. You're the only one that can transform me. That's what Peter's saying. Verse 70, Jesus said, I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil. Hold on now. That seems to be a bombshell to drop in the conversation we're having. Let me just catch you up in the last 5 minutes. Jesus talks about a truth on who can be saved and who will not be saved. Hundreds of his so-called disciples and followers, the Bible says, follow him no more. Jesus is standing there with the 12, and he says, will you leave me too? One of the 12, who is going to be one of the greatest preachers to ever live, second to Jesus, says, hey, I'm not going to leave you. Where would I go? Because you have the words to eternal life. You would think at the end of a statement like that, Jesus would say, you're right, Peter. We're on the right course. Let's continue on. After Peter's declaration, where would I go? You have the words to eternal life. This is what Jesus said. I called all 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. This was a church leadership conversation. This wasn't to a Sunday congregation. This was in staff meeting on Monday morning. He said, I called all of you. One of you is a devil. Man, you know when Jesus starts calling people, you better make sure that you ain't the one. So one of you is the devil. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12, who would later betray him. Remember, we already proved that you could follow Jesus without being transformed. Judas proves you can be in the presence of Jesus and never be transformed. Church, it is dangerous to be in God's presence but never allow his presence in you. Write it down. Take a picture. It is dangerous to be in the presence of God, but never allow God's presence in you. That is why you can come to Living Way and leave Living Way and never be the same. That is why you can come to an altar and leave an altar and never be the same. That is why you can pray your prayers and clutch your beads and you can quote the Psalms and you can worship at home, but never have the presence of God in you. Until you and I are carriers of the presence of God, we will never be transformed. You are not transformed from the outside in. You are transformed from the inside out. 11 disciples got the memo. One didn't, and he betrayed Jesus and hung himself. The Spirit of God is not a cheap parlor trick or parking lot trick for profits so that they can get big offerings and they can tell you your social security number and they can tell you your driver's license number. I've got news for you, prophet. I've had that memorized since I was 16 years old. I don't need you to give me those words. What I need you to tell me is the lottery numbers. What I need you to tell me is the next time they're going to bring Twin Towers down in New York. I need you to tell me something that's going to work. And since I can't find prophets like that, I've cut out the middleman and I've gone straight to Jesus. And I say, I don't need their word. I have your word. I don't need them speaking for you. I have your spirit living in me. Your holy word speaking to me, written word speaking to me, but your spirit speaking to me. Is this too much on a Sunday? Let's go. This proves you can be in the presence, but not be transformed. 1 John 2:19. This is the verse I just quoted a few moments ago. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. I love this. Jesus was dropping rhymes and was writing lyrics before Tupac ever was born. He said, They were not with us. That's why they left us. If they had continued with us, we would have never known that they weren't with us. He said, you should be glad that they walked out, because when they walked out, they told on themselves, I was never with you. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been lamenting in 2023 because she walked out, he walked out, they walked out. Can I tell you, like Jesus, they left you because they were never with you, they were never for you, and because they left you, now you can mark them. The Bible says, mark those that cause division. Now you can mark them and say, hey, they were seasonal, but they weren't here for a reason. They were scaffolding for me to get this thing built. But God, they showed their true colors. He says they left us because they weren't really with us. But you should be glad they left us, because if they had continued with us, you wouldn't have known that they weren't for us. Some of God's greatest miracles, it's not what he does in your life, church. It's who he pulls out of your life. I wish I was taking notes. I would write that one down. Some of God's greatest miracles is the one that walked out, that you cried about them walking out. And God is saying, you're crying over their absence, but I've been waiting on them to leave so I could take you here and I could do this and I could bring you this person and we could reshuffle the deck and move forward. That's for somebody today. That's for somebody today. That your transformation can now be manifest, can now be completed, can now be continued, because they are no longer with you. Praise God. Don't let those who refuse to transform frustrate you. Don't let those who refuse to transform frustrate you. Have you ever witnessed to somebody that just didn't want to hear it? You ever, maybe we're not even talking ministry or church, have you ever poured into somebody that it was like they were a colander and everything just leaked out? They didn't retain anything. They woke up in a new world every day. And you want what's best. You want them to encounter and experience Jesus like we have. And they just can't get it. Don't let their lack of transformation frustrate you. Three words, let them go. Let them go. I typed this sentence twice, erased it twice, and God said, no, put it back in there. And the reason I erased it is I said, man, I don't want this to be Brandon. I want this to be God. And I thought it was Brandon the first two times I typed it, but evidently it was God. And I said, well, God, I need to be able to prove this with scripture. Jesus never chased down anyone who left. Think about it. You don't have to clap. Just let that sink in. Jesus never chased down. Say, prove in the Bible. Well, I can prove it a lot of different areas. Number one, the prodigal son's father never left the house. He kept working on the house because he knew the son was eventually going to come back. What the father did not do was curse the son, gossip about the son, slander and defame the son. But what he told the servants of the house, the boy's mother and the elder brother is, we've got to make things right because son is coming home. I don't know if it's today, next week, next month, next year, next decade, but every day I'm going to go down on the porch and I'm going to look down the road and I'm going to look for a little stirring of a dust cloud. And don't you know that that father was excited every time he saw a dust cloud and he was disappointed when it wasn't his son. But one day, the Bible says, the son came to himself in the pit. Big pen. And he said, the servants in my father's house are eating more and doing better than me. He said, I will return to my father's house, but this time I will come on my face as a servant. And I am here to tell you, the father never went to the pig pen. The father never went into the city looking for him. The father never put his son's face on a milk carton. But what he did was, he said, eventually my son's coming home and the father's house is going to be so glorious that when he gets in the Father's presence, he will never leave again. Jesus never chased down those who left him. He continued to pour into those that stayed. That's powerful. You say, well, Jimmy ran out on me. Pour into the ones that stayed. Can I encourage, and I kind of made light of it, and it was just a joke, forgive me. About in-laws and ex-spouses and baby mama, and I don't like all those terms, but baby daddy, all those things that we hear. Can I tell you that you've cried a lot, you've wasted a lot of energy over him and her, and you could have been pouring into your kids. You could have been pouring into yourself. You could have healed so that you don't carry that baggage into your next relationship. Judas was ready to leave. Judas does leave. Jesus doesn't chase Judas down. He just keeps pouring into Peter. He said, Peter's going to be a preacher. Let me pour into him. James and John are going to write some of the New Testament. Let me continue to pour into them. I want to encourage you today. Don't worry about what has been taken away from you. Don't worry about what has run out on you. Look to the things that are still there. Look to the people that have stayed. Hug them, appreciate them, and keep pouring into them. I came to realize that Peter and Judas are very similar. They both denied Christ. Peter denied Christ around the fire when he cussed everybody out and said, I don't know the man. I've never met the man. I've never talked to the man. I don't know him. In some ways, Judas was smarter than Peter because Peter denied him for free. At least Judas got some silver. He denied Christ. Here's just an extra point. Then he found out Jesus was priceless and took the silver back to the high priests. But they both denied Christ. They both had seasons where they questioned Jesus, his kingdom, and his will, and they both fled from the presence of Jesus. Here's just a sidebar. Never run from the presence of Christ. Run to the presence of Christ, no matter what you have done. Parents, you need to facilitate a culture raising your kids that even if you make a mistake, you come to me and I'll love you. Now, I might have to discipline you and we might have to fix some things that you messed up, but I'm here to tell you I love you and I will always love you. I might be disappointed, but I love you. We'll take care of it. We'll grow from it and we'll move on. Don't run from the presence of Christ. However, one had not started. Judas never started the metamorphosis process. Peter had. Judas refused to jump in. Peter jumped in. One refrained from and avoided the process at all cost, and Peter submitted to the process. Church, I've got a couple minutes left here, and I want to encourage you with this. Coming to church is not part of the process. Sunday and Wednesday, I love this time. I love this time together as a church family. This is not a part of your process. You say, well, how can you say that? Because Judas followed Jesus for 3 years and never started the process of transformation. 3 years. Heard him teach, watched him bring dead people back to life, and just said, yeah, I don't know if I want to do all this. And we've got people in this room here today that you've never heard the audible voice of God. You've never seen the face of Jesus, yet you serve him, follow him all the days of your life, and you do it with so much zeal, excitement, and love. And that's what Jesus said when you've seen me. He said, blessed are those who've seen me and believe. But he said, more blessed are those who have not yet seen, yet they still believe. They're still committed to the process of transformation. Jesus shows up in John 21 to a cocooned Peter. Jesus has died. Peter has denied him. Jesus has risen again. Peter has gone back to his failing life of a fisherman. It must not be going very good because John 21 shows us a Peter who is now stripped naked and he is no longer fishing. He is just swimming in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus shows up to a cocooned Peter. Say, so how do you know he's cocooned? Because he doesn't call him Peter, he calls him Simon. After all of this time of walking with him, church, Simon is still doing Simon things. I've been there before. I want to be like Jesus, but I have a bad day and I find myself doing Brandon things. I want to do right, but I find myself being pulled to flesh out and do something that is below the standard God has for me. He finds a cocoon Simon, and he says this. He says, Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. 3 times he asked him. In other words, he says, you're acting like a caterpillar again. It's time to turn into the butterfly. You're acting like the old Simon again, that old cussing sailor, but it's time to start acting like the preacher that I've called you to be. You're acting like the old man again, but it's time that you act like the preacher that is going to lead the Gentiles into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is where I want to end today, church. I'm not asking you to finish your race today. I'm just asking you to keep running. And if you're not running yet, to start running. I'm not asking you to win the battle today. I'm just asking you to put on the armor and show up. I'm not asking you to complete the task in front of you. I'm just asking you not to give up. I'm not asking you to have the best marriage, the best money, the best family in the building. I'm just asking you not to throw in the towel today and to keep committed to the process of becoming like Jesus.